This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Of course, it is 5:35 on Friday. The mayor is now joining us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so set your dance card accordingly. Mayor Tory, great to have you on the show today.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Let's talk a little bit about a rather dire announcement from you today about layoffs, potential layoffs at City Hall when it comes to, jobs and having to let go of people. Obviously, that's not your want. You're asking the federal government and other levels of government to come forward, when it comes to, helping out and giving the city some money to make sure that those numbers aren't that high. When it comes through all of this, when we come through this financial crunch, do you expect that we won't lay anybody off at the end of it all? Are you being realistic that we're going to have to lay some people off as a result of this?
Well, I don't want to predict what's going to go on in the future, but I guess if my behavior to date is any indication of, what I'll do in the future, we have, unfortunately, have people from the City Hall on emergency leave right now. We have people, I think, on the verge of being laid off at the TTC. We haven't been afraid to take those decisions when they were necessary, and I wouldn't going forward, but that's not the answer here. For every person you lay off, most people who work for the city are not people working in offices. There are people driving solid waste garbage trucks. There are people working in child care centers. There are people working in parks. There are police officers. There are firefighters. There are people who are in frontline jobs that are performing services for people. So even if we did, go down to the layoff route, which you'd like to avoid adding to the unemployment we already have, you're by so doing, you are, cutting back on services. Because most of the city's budget is people. Very little of it is, the gas that goes in the trucks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm just asking, is there going to be somewhat of a reflection? We've seen it obviously in the private sector where we've had layoffs. Is the city immune to that type of thing?
Nope. No, we're not. But you'd like to avoid that simply because, as I said, first of all, you don't want to add to unemployment. And secondly, those people all deliver services. So you can't cut back on firefighters, because they are employees of the city, and then not cut back on the fire service. It all goes together. So I'm saying, we'd much rather not do that. We'd much rather get the help from other governments that have the capacity to provide us with help on what is a problem not of our making. If we'd mismanaged the city so that, we were in some kind of a hole because we'd, been mismanagers, I would say, maybe they'd say we have to clean up our own mess. But this is a mess caused by the very same pandemic that has them offering programs to all kinds of people, which I support. I find it a bit ironic that I read that there's going to be a program that's going to support the wages of people who work for the political parties that they can apply for, and yet municipalities that are, employing firefighters and police officers and transit workers don't seem to have a program like that at the moment.
I made the case earlier that the city has very few options when it comes to revenue streams. Obviously, the TTC has had a severe drop in revenue. Have you had discussions with your team? Has it been presented to you other revenue tools for the city to try to make some money in all of this, in the future, whether it's road tolls or something to that effect? The choices are limited.
Well, we really don't have any other tools. Road tolls, for example, Ryan, the reason we don't have them today, because I put them through City Council, and as you'll recall, the provincial government of the day, having agreed to approve it, didn't. And so the province of Ontario has to approve road tolls. We already approved it at City Council, you'll remember, and the province shot it down. And so we have no other revenue tools. We have the right to impose a tax on alcohol, but the provincial government said they wouldn't put it onto a bottle of wine or booze at the liquor store because they don't want to have differential pricing and they don't want to collect it. We have the right to charge a tax on entertainment, so we could charge it on baseball tickets that aren't presently being sold. Those are the only things we have left out of the revenue tools that we have, and it's not going to raise $1.5 billion, which is the money that we've fallen short. And people, I know, keep wondering where the $1.5 billion came from. I'll just cite the one example, which is the TTC alone, as you just mentioned, through decreased ridership, is losing about $22 million in revenue per week. So if you do the math, we're about 10 weeks into this, or 9 or something, but it's going to go on for another period of time. You're talking hundreds of millions just for that one item.
So have you had renewed discussions then when it comes to road tolls?
No, but I mean, the Progressive Conservative Party was the party that, you know, pushed the hardest to on the Wynne government to get them not to do it. So, I haven't, but I mean, I'm quite happy to do so because I believed in them then as an answer, not just to raise money, but to raise money to build transit. And I thought it was also fair given the fact that 40% of the people who use the Gardiner and the Parkway are people from outside of the city of Toronto, outside the 416, and therefore they contribute nothing through their taxes to the maintenance cost of those roads, which is in the millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars.
You know, we're getting text messages as we're speaking, and I think it's an interesting curiosity. Does the city not have a rainy day fund? Is there not money kicking around somewhere in the back?
The rainy day funds, Ryan, we have quite a few rainy day funds, but they're for very specific purposes, by law in some cases. What's really ironic about this, again, is that many of the rainy day funds we have established are established due to a provincial law saying we had to have it, and I'm not objecting to that. I'm saying that's fine, but we can't just unwind it. Like, by law, we have to keep a certain reserve, for example, to pay for the benefits of our employees in case in some way or other we ran out of money, and they don't want to have us saying, well, sorry, your teeth don't get fixed because your city didn't put the money aside. So we have reserves, but they're there, and I could send you a list of them, but they're there for a very specific, often legislated purpose that does not give us the freedom to use them for, you know, saying, well, we're short of transit money, so we'll just take the money out of the benefits fund.
Is it billions? Is it millions in those funds?
It's billions in total, and that sounds like a lot. But when you're having these kinds of backstop funds that are there for a very specific legislated purpose, please don't misunderstand. This is not billions that just sit in an account, you know, collecting dust. Mm-hmm. They're billions that by law we are required to set aside so that somebody's pension or somebody's benefits or somebody's something or other don't end up getting unpaid if anything very, very bad happened to the city. And so, you know, so that's why they're there. We have a rainy day fund that is for more generalized purposes. It's called the Tax Stabilization Fund, but it has millions in it when the shortfall is well over a billion.
One of the other things we're hearing about today is that bar owners are allegedly opening up for their regulars. Curious, is this happening? And if it is, what's being done about it?
I will only tell you that, Jay, we have not had complaints about that. Like, the number of complaints about both businesses open that shouldn't be or about people not physically distancing has really dropped off quite a bit, which I attributed mostly to good behavior on the part of people physically distancing themselves. But we were getting lots of calls, maybe from competing business people, I don't know, about businesses that were open illegally. And we were sending people out, and they were getting tickets for that because, you know, again, it's not fair to the ones that are closed. I am not aware of that. I will check in specifically on that. And get you an answer. I can't get it before Monday, probably now, but I will. And I'm sure that if somebody's calling in to complain about that, that we're sending people out because that is so unfair to all the people that remain closed and followed the law. And I would want to take action on that.
One of the other questions we're getting at 7-10-10, not necessarily COVID-related, but people have been following the story, I think, over the last couple of weeks. I know we've talked about it before. People curious about the homeless encampments under the Gardiner Expressway, keeping those areas cleared and trying to keep the homeless out of there. I know there were a lot of stories about people now putting tents up on University Avenue and whatnot. Is there a way that we can keep the homeless away from certain areas, or is this sort of like a game of whack-a-mole?
Well, the government over time, the city government, has tried to put in place some laws that sort of stop people from, you know, being in certain kinds of places. But those laws have basically been struck down as unconstitutional. Today, the tents were all removed from University Avenue. Those people were rehoused. We've rehoused 6,000 people over the last number of years through this program called Streets to Homes. And so people understand that are listening. What we do is we give notice of the fact we're going to come in and take these encampments down. We work with the people who are living in the tents to find them alternate housing, and then after we've done that, we take the encampments down. And so today, all the tents on University Avenue went down, and I'd seen them growing in number, and I don't think that's the proper place, nor are any of these places for encampments, but we found housing for a number of those people, and those tents are gone. And I reiterated this afternoon, as I will now, we will continue to follow the same policy, which is sensitive, it's sensible, and it does what it needs to do, which is it gives people notice, it then works with them to find housing for all that want to have housing, and then we move in and remove those encampments. And that's exactly what we should do, and it's exactly what we will continue to do as a city.
Mayor Tory, we appreciate the time today.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks,
that is
sir.
Mayor John Tory. He will be back with us on Monday afternoon at 5:35.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to pocketemploymentlawyer.ca.